Millions of people struggle to grow their business, and that's why today we have Jairek Robbins, and he'll tell us about 5 steps how you can replace $300,000 in payroll with an AI executive team and get 20 hours back per week. Jairek Robbins has spent 20 years coaching entrepreneurs across 137 countries, from pre-revenue startups to a company doing $180 billion per year. And as president of Success Enterprises, he drove 300% revenue growth in 8 months, and he coached a woman-founded consultancy from $500K to $6.5 million over 4 years, helped a startup raise $160 million, and coached founders to build 8-figure businesses. And he's built Executive Office AI with 267 specialized AI agents that give any founder a full executive advisory team for $500 per month instead of $300K in annual headcount. And his framework, the 5 Ones, helps founders reach $1 million fastest by going narrow and deep rather than chasing every shiny object. Now, Jairek, tell us about what are the top reasons that businesses get stuck, and what's the problem with each of them, and how to fix it.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Sure. So the place I would start is, yes, it does replace, you know, $300,000 to $790,000 a year of executive payroll. But what I want to frame for people out there is that's for the big companies. When I'm working shoulder to shoulder with a guy who built a company that has 1,700 employees and 90,000 sales reps, plus an additional $180 billion a year of top line, you know, home sales and revenue. His company is making $1.7 billion a year. He's doing great. He can hire hundreds of executives to run all the different companies in his organization. It was fantastic. It was a huge ecosystem. Now, when I go work with a woman-founded business who's this incredibly driven, focused women who are really powerful, incredible at what they do, and they have currently, when they just got started, $500,000 a year in revenue. If you have $500,000 a year in total revenue, you can't afford a $790,000 additional payroll expense to bring on a whole executive suite. And so, you know, when I'm working with the lady in Kansas City who did a total of $890,000 this year with 30% profit, good for her. She can't afford that executive suite. When you're talking to a guy who runs a scuba shop in Manila, he made $250,000 total revenue last year. He can't afford the executive suite. And so when you look at it, yes, it can replace payroll, but what it can really do is give people access that never had this kind of access before. Because it's unfair. The one that's in the scuba shop, he doesn't know how to price his scuba lessons. He doesn't know if he should be doing certification classes or he should be doing, you know, adventure trips for tourists. The lady with in the business in Kansas City, like, she's never had a chief marketing officer. She's never had a full-time CMO that costs $200,000 a year plus equity. She can't afford that. And so I think with AI, for the very first time, it's phenomenal that you can give someone access to that type of framework, insight, knowledge, experience, we might call it, even though it's AI, where they can now make educated decisions on how to navigate their business instead of just trying to wing it and find out what happens. In the United States, 68.8% of businesses fail in 10 years. That's the average locally here. And what's wild is 82% of those businesses cite that cash flow was the reason why they went out of business. I just taught a class a few hours ago about basic understanding of accounting. You know, we're talking about cash accounting, which is cash in, cash out every month, versus accrual accounting. Now, some people listening, their eyes might roll back and they might be speaking a foreign language. Others will know this instantly. They take an account, you know, a class on accounting. And so I was showing them, you know, if you make $5,000 in April, which is this month, If you're doing cash accounting, you think you have $5,000 to spend. But if you're doing accrual accounting and you only delivered $1,000 versus service rendered, you've only technically earned $1,000 this month so far. But if you go spend the whole $5,000 on ads, marketing, payroll, whatever, you're actually negative in accrual because you've overspent the amount of earned income. And there's a difference. All profit isn't created equal. You look at your top line revenue, you go, woohoo. Hopefully you look at your profit in your business and go, woohoo, you have some. But there's a difference between profit and cash. And most people have no clue what the difference is. And then types of cash. There's investment cash, finance cash, there's operating cash. You want to see operating cash and how much free cash flow your business can produce. I've lost most people listening right now because it's getting too technical. But here's what AI can do. AI knows all that. You can say, hey, AI, how's my cash flow looking this month? And it'll instantaneously go through all of those metrics and tell you exactly how well you're operating your business. You can say, hey, how's my cash conversion cycle from profit to cash? How am I doing on that? And it can say, actually, for the dentist that I coach in Paris who has 3 different locations, he was doing unbelievable at sales and revenue. He was doing phenomenal at profitability. Why is his bank account empty? Why is this dude making millions in revenue, millions in profit, but has no cash? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it turns out his cash conversion cycle was broken. AI recognized it instantly on our platform and told us 3 things we could do in 30 days to boost the cash conversion cycle that fast. And so I wanted to frame that right of it's really truly giving an entrepreneur access to a $790,000 a year C-suite, executive suite of agents that can give them actual insight that normally would have cost them almost $1 million a year they probably don't have access to.
Thank you. So in terms of the top reasons why businesses get stuck, I looked at your...
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah. They get distracted. So number one, they try to serve everybody. I'm a coach by trade. So I have a degree in psychology, a background in coaching people. And often when you see a coach graduate and they go out into the marketplace, the first thing they do is, I can help anyone with anything in their life through my coaching skills. That doesn't work. That is the most bland, unuseful statement. Even though it's coming from a good intention, it will not get you clients whatsoever. So the number one thing we recommend in the 5-1s is you have to get one client, one ideal avatar, one type of person that you know better than anyone else on earth. And hopefully you know them better than they know themselves. Because when you understand that client where you can, you know what keeps them up at night, you know what gets them excited, you know what they're focused on, you know what they're trying to accomplish, you can then craft messaging to actually speak to them. And I'll give you an example. Did you know that Earth has been around for 4.6 billion years, give or take, right? Human beings have been around for roughly 300,000 years. I know you're a digital nomad, so I'd ask, do you know how long the typical workplace has been in place? The 9-to-5, we go to an office, we report to our desk, we sit down and do our duty. That structure, 9-to-5, 5 days a week. Do you know how long that's been in place?
No.
100 years as of this year. So for the last 100 years, remember 4.6 billion years, 300,000 years of humans, for 100 of those, which is a blink in history, this little tiny gap of time, we've decided it's normal to sit at a desk all day in an office and work. Now, here's what's interesting. In the United States, 47% of the workforce is women, and the entire work structure was built on a 24-hour circadian rhythm reset, which is what male hormones do every 24 hours. Female hormones are on an infradian cycle that cycles every roughly 28 days, and it goes through 4 distinct phases. The current workplace was not set up to support, honor, or is set for that 4-cycle phase to be respected or honored in any way. And so I'd ask you, as a woman entrepreneur, you're building businesses. Are there days where you wake up and before the day starts, you could have accomplished 12 things first thing in the morning? And it felt easy. Like you woke up, you're firing, you're good, you're going, you're driven. You just get it done. And then 6 days later, you wake up, you have your calendar planned, and it feels like you're trying to push a boulder up a hill. Your body's saying, I'm not doing it. And your mind is like, get it done. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes.
Yeah. My wife tells me, it's like I'm trying to push a boulder up a hill. How come yesterday I could get this much done and today I'm dragging myself through the day just trying to survive it? And it turns out a man, his testosterone from the age of 20 to the age of 50, 30 years, it drops by 20% gradually, 2 to 3% a year. A woman's testosterone rises and falls by 25x every 4 weeks. The same experience that guy has spread out over 30 years, and he's just not the same guy he used to be, that a woman experiences every 4 weeks. Her estrogen and progesterone have a 10x shift throughout the month. She's chemically, hormonally, she's like biochemically a different human being on week one from week three. She is a different person. But she thinks she's supposed to perform it the same way that she's always performed because that's just what's expected these days. That's normal. That's how we do it. It's an excuse if you're not getting things done and planning your day and all this other jazz. And in reality, we're forcing ourselves into a system that's a brand new system, 100 years, that was not built with any of this in mind because they didn't even know this stuff back then. And my question is, I wonder if AI might give us the ability, according to Jamie Dimon from Chase Manhattan Bank, he said AI could make a 3-day work week possible, where you only have to work 3 days with the same output, hopefully the same pay, and it only requires 3 days at your desk to actually get the same amount of work done because of AI. Here's my curiosity. Would that create a bridge globally that we could rewrite the entire concept of what a work week looks like to actually honor the natural rhythms of 47% of the workforce? I think that'd be a really interesting time in history where we rewrote the whole cycle process to actually honor and respect our body's natural rhythms, then to force them into something that was never aware or honoring of how things really are. I think it'd be a fascinating experiment to try. And I have a weird feeling. I bet if I took a group of women, which is already proven, if you invest money into a female entrepreneur, she produces 2.5x her counterpart that's a male as an entrepreneur in a startup. It's proven. We're not guessing. The only problem is the female entrepreneurs, as powerful as you are, it's hard to sustain because they burn out. And my question was, why do they burn out? Because the system wasn't built to honor their natural rhythms. They're forcing themselves. It's like if I sit in the car, I turn it on, and I have a super, I don't know what your favorite car is, but let's say we have a super fancy car, and I put the brake on, and I won't let the car move. I have the brake all the way down. And then I take my other foot, and I smash the gas pedal down, and then you stress the engine. The engine just goes, but the car doesn't move. That's what happens when a woman's estrogen and progesterone falls off a cliff on that day each month. Her brain says, go, all gas. But her nervous system and body and hormonally goes, nope, the brake is on, I'm not going. But the brain is saying, go. And so what happens is that stress, I think, could be reapplied. Honor it. Instead of fighting it, why don't we honor it? My wife and I have been doing this for the past 30 days. And I said, I've learned more about my wife through using this new tool we have in 30 days than I have in the last 14 years of knowing her. Unbelievable. And I understand why she's feeling the way she is, because all of a sudden I can see what's shifting that's causing the tension to show up in her life. And my thought was, why don't we restructure our days to actually honor the natural rhythms your body's making its way through each time? And let's find out what happens. And she said something. She said the sweetest thing. She said, I finally feel like in 42 years, I'm not fighting myself every day. And I went, wow, what an experience. What an experience. Then I have to be fighting yourself. Like, I should be doing more. What's wrong with me? What happens? Nobody likes me. Like, to not have to fight myself and instead be naturally moving through the day. And she's getting so much more done. It's amazing. Like, she's doing less, but achieving more. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. How can you do less and still achieve more? Because she's doing the right things at the right time. Not just being busy to be busy. And so number one, people try to serve everybody. And so if I was working with a specific type of client, I would know things about them that they might not even know about themselves. I would do research and understand things about them that when I'm sharing what I'm up to, you might be thinking, wow, how the heck did he know all that? Is that true? Shit, I don't even know that. wow, I need to go figure that out for myself, because you're learning something as I'm describing who I work with and how I work with them. And so number one, you got to know who you're working with, and you got to know them better than they know themselves. You have to go do the deep research and find out who they are, what they're going through, what their real experience is. And then number two, can you create something that fixes and solves a real, true problem in their life? I'm not talking like adding value. You see people all the time on Instagram. You got to add value, bro. Not that. I mean something that actually is valuable to them. Like, we created this little app, it's called peakher.ai, and it allows women to check every day just how they're doing, and then it tells them what day of those four cycles they're in and exactly how to approach the day. It tells them what type of workout to do and which one to avoid. There's certain cycles that when you do a heavy, intense workout, you actually break down muscle instead of build up muscle. And so I had a friend who's a female VC. She's built, scaled, and exited multiple businesses. She's made millions of dollars. She's an angel investor that invests in all kinds of startups. And at one point, she wanted to do bodybuilding. She wanted to build her body and do bodybuilding. And she'd go to her male trainer and say, okay, what's the workout today? And he goes, today's legs. And she's like, that's a horrible idea. I'm in this phase, and if I do legs, I'm going to break down my muscles instead of build up my muscles. And he would go, yeah, whatever. Come on, last week your legs was this. Here's your best. So we're going to push for a personal record today. And she said, absolutely not. I've been studying my body. I understand what phase and cycle I'm in. I know where my hormones are at. If I do that workout, it's going to harm my body more than it's going to help my body. And the wild part, this is a personal trainer who studied exercise physiology, who's certified in all these things, and he has no clue about this stuff. And she was studying like crazy because she's extremely smart, very successful, very focused and driven woman. And because she knew about this, she knew the difference of what to do and when to do it for her body when it's at its best to get the best result. And so we baked that in. Here's what to eat. Here's how to approach your workout. Here's what to do in friends. Here's what to do with business. And then lessons, little understanding about here's what's going on in your body and here's what you can expect and here's how to navigate it. And it was like, we created one solution for one problem, how to navigate your day-to-day week based on exactly where your natural body is in the cycle and rhythms that you go through. And so one client, one product, solving one problem, there's three, then you need one marketing channel. Normally, when businesses launch, they're so excited. They've got to have a TikTok and an Instagram and a podcast and a YouTube and a Twitter and an email list and billboards and newsletters. They've got so many things they're trying to do that honestly, they end up doing most of them average at best. They don't do any of those exceptionally well. Pick one channel that you can just own. And you can nail it. You can dial it in. The cool part with AI, I just built an AI for a client that can go scrape the algorithm off of any social media platform and tell you what song is trending right this moment, what niche in your business, what's popular right now, like what's going viral. It can capture the exact format. It can build the exact script. It can tell you what to say, how to film it, what angle to use, what colors to use, what song to use, so that your next video catches the algorithm and goes. It's amazing. We've been testing it. It absolutely works. And so all of my social media accounts are going up and to the right now as far as results, because we're not guessing. We're using AI to scrape the algorithm, tell us what works, understand our business, what we do, who we do it for, and how we do it, and craft our entire narrative and message to fit perfectly into the algorithm. And so you don't have to guess. So own one platform, and then finally do it for 1 year. No distractions, no shiny object syndromes, no getting caught up in someone telling you about something and you're constantly jumping from one idea to the next. And so when you do that, we call it the five ones. That's the biggest five mistakes people make when trying to launch a business and get up to that first $1 million in revenue a year. And so real simple, I'll say it one more time. One target audience, one solution you're solving for, one marketing and sales process, one channel that you own, and do it for 1 year. Five ones, you dial those in and you'll watch your business really get phenomenal traction and results quickly.
Thank you. Are you saying, for example, for people that are, let's say, health coaches that can help multiple individuals, like millions of people, to solve multiple health problems, they should just choose one health problems and not focus on the hundreds of potential problems they can solve, and then
Sure.
just kind of sub-niche that way?
Well, let me show you the difference. Let's use doctors, for example. They're in the health field, they're helping people. So, for a doctor, let's say that, gosh, I don't know, someone went blind, right? They lost their. Now, if we think of what type of doctor helps everyone with everything, it's called a general practitioner. It's a general doctor. You can go to them for anything. Your toe hurts, your eye hurts, your head hurts, you have a fever, you got any ailment, you can go to a general practitioner doctor. Now, how much does it, and I don't know the answer, I might need Google for this. How much does a general practitioner doctor make?
I don't know, maybe 50,000 in
I think more than
London.
that. Let's call it 100,000. Like
Okay, in the
100,000 a
US.
year general, or even 300, like they're doing well, 300,000 a year. But let's say you go to the doctor and you've lost your eyesight, you can't see. A general practitioner can't help with that. So they're going to refer you to a specialist. Now, a specialist is a doctor that has a very specific thing they're good at. So you have a podiatrist who's good with feet. You have an internal medicine doctor that's good with that. You have an eye doctor who's good with optometry, or an ophthalmologist who's another level of specialist. You have a brain surgeon who's good at brain surgery, and you're going to go to a specialist. Now, compared to a general practitioner, how much more does a specialist make?
A lot more, but I don't know the specifics.
Same, a lot more. Let's call it double. So 300,000 if you're a general practitioner, 600,000 if you're a specialist. But let's go one more layer. What if you're the only doctor on earth that knows how to solve blindness through a special chip implant through brain surgery? You're the only one. How much do you make?
It's hard to tell, but a lot more.
As much as you want to charge, because how much would someone pay to get their eyesight back?
Anything that they have, really.
That's right. That's the difference. So if someone's a health coach, they can be a general practitioner. I help anybody with their health. I don't think you'll make 300,000, but who knows? Maybe you make 300,000. If you become a specialist, I help these people with this specific health issue. You probably become, that person who's a specialist. You might make double the amount of money. If you become someone as a health coach that you have a super narrow specific brain implant surgery that cures blindness, if you're that kind of health coach, you could probably charge any number you desire because you deliver a result that people would give anything for. So it's up to you. I'm not telling you what kind of health coach to be, but I am telling you there's a huge pay difference between a generalist, a specialist, and a hyper specialist.
Thank you. What's the problem with having too many offers, even if, let's say, you are a specialist?
Well, specialists usually don't. I mean, imagine going to the foot doctor who's a podiatrist, and when you're sitting in the weight room, you look over and you see a protein powder for sale. And you think, I wonder how that protein powder is going to help my foot heal. And then you look over to the left and you see a trip to Africa they're leading later next month. And you're like, well, that's kind of cool, but my foot doctor is going to be out of the country a month from now. That's weird. I hope he's here when my cast comes off because I kind of want my same doctor to help me with my foot, right? So now my foot doctor is helping me with my foot. They're selling me protein powder and they're taking me to Africa on safari. Jesus, what else is this guy up to? At some point, I kind of want a foot doctor who's a foot doctor. Does that make sense? There's nothing wrong with selling me protein powder and taking me to Africa. But if I'm looking for a foot doctor, I'm not interested in safaris. I want a foot doctor to help fix my foot. And so sometimes we become a health coach that's also leading safaris and also has a protein powder for sale. And beyond that, you can visit my Etsy store and get my cool earrings I just made too. And you're like, God, what in the hell is my foot doctor up to these days? And it's fun for artistic expression. Now, if I found out my foot doctor is also an artist and likes to paint, and has a website up where he kind of sells some of his paintings every now and then. And it's not really his business. It's his hobby that he's just passionate about. That's cool. I might buy a piece of art just to say thank you for helping me fix my foot. But if I go into his waiting room and I see protein powder for sale, a trip to Africa, some art, or I could get my foot fixed, and I'm all in the same place, I'm starting to get worried.
Thank you. What about someone who has multiple offers that are kind of the solution to that same problem? Let's say we could fix your eyes like this, you know, taking this powder or whatever. We can fix it like with the second option, or we can fix it with the third, or we can basically someone who has multiple offers for fixing the same issue.
Sure. Yeah, that's no problem. So I could sell you contact lenses. We could do LASIK. We could do glasses. Sure. Those are all solutions for the same problem that allow the user to decide which path best fits their needs. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. What I mean is don't set up the trip to Africa and the protein powder and the paintings for sale and the glasses and I fix your foot. Like, that's becoming way too distracting of why would someone come here? Versus if, no, you come to the optometrist and you can get contact lenses, you can get glasses, you can get sunglasses, you can get LASIK. Sure, we help with all of your eye issues. What we call that is narrow to wide. So there's wide to wide. Wide to wide makes very little money. It's I help everyone do everything. That doesn't work. There's narrow to wide. I help this one person solve all of these issues. Or I help anyone with this one specific issue. That's wide to narrow, either way. Either I help this one person do these, or I help all anybody do this one thing. That's wide to narrow. Then the people who make a ton of money are narrow to narrow. I help this one person do this one thing. When you get narrow to narrow, and it's a very big problem in someone's life, you make extraordinary amounts of money.
Thank you. Tell me, how can entrepreneurs master one lead source with AI?
Sure. Well, AI can be your research assistant. You can pick a certain category of people and you can do unbelievable research on them. You can get to know their patterns, where they go, what they're into, what their interests, what their fears are. I built an AI that if you sent me an email, it'll tell me something called hidden intent. What are you trying to hide and not tell me? And it can instantly pick it up. Even if it's a text message, it'll say, here's what they're not telling you. Instantly. It'll map your whole psychographic personality. It'll tell me if you're a high-driven person or if you're a slow-paced person. It'll tell me what your buying intent is. It'll tell me what things to talk to you about, and it'll tell me what things not to bring up. And so if I'm going to be working with you, I want to know that before I even start the interview. So I have this little one called Meeting Prep built in my system that whenever I have a meeting like this, I click Do Meeting Prep. It scrapes the entire internet. It learns everything it possibly can about you. And then it tells me, here are certain topics to talk about. Here are certain things not to bring up. Here are some things you have in common. Here are some things that she might find interesting that you could bring up that would cause her to lean in and really be curious. I was like, thank you. That's helpful. And instead of needing a physical team member to go do 30 days of research on you and follow you around, it takes 90 seconds and you click a button and 90 seconds later, I have a full report sitting in front of me. And so how can you get to know a client better? Build an agent that can do that kind of web scraping and research, and you'll have a deep dive on every person you're about to communicate with.
Thank you. How can someone find out what kind of clients are ideal for the kind of offer that they want to?
Sure. Well, if they're doing it that direction, they're doing it backwards. So whenever someone says, this is my passion, this is what I'm into, here's the thing I most want to do, how do I find clients for this? You're doing it backwards. And what I mean is, what's most important in that scenario is self-expression. Self-expression is art. It's beautiful. I love self-expression. I love artists, musicians, art painters, singers, dancers. I love that. But as an artist, you have to be comfortable with no one loving your art except for you, because your art is your expression. It doesn't matter what other people think about it. It doesn't matter if they're into it or not. It's the ability to self-express at the highest level. That's what self-expression is. That's what art is. Now, if we're doing business, I'll make business so simple. My mentor taught me this, and I thought it was ridiculous. He said, if you want to know how to win in business, find out what they want, go get it, and give it to them. I said, Keith, come on. That's it? He goes, that's it. Pick any topic on earth. Pick any category of business. Pick any group of people. It works. Find out what they want, go get it, give it to them, and figure out how to charge a healthy margin for it. And I was like, wow, it doesn't matter if you're passionate about it. He said, oh God, no. It doesn't matter if you love it and it feels like your life's mission. He goes, nope, no one cares. And I was so frustrated because in my world, personal development, I thought you had to love it. It had to be your ikigai. It had to be what you're good at, what you love, what the world needs, and you can charge for it. I thought it had all these special formulas that I had to find just right. And he's like, oh no, that's complicated. He goes, business is simple. Find out what they want, go get it, and give it to them. You do that, you'll win every single time. I was like,
And how do you choose the correct kind of like audience for your specific business?
Yeah, I go out in the world and just listen and find out what people are going through. I go out and listen to women and find out, you know, half the month they feel like they're pushing a boulder up the hill. I just go, that's interesting. Just you or are there others? And I walk around and ask, hey, do you ever feel like you're pushing a boulder up a hill? And another woman goes, yeah, that's interesting. You too? What about you? You also? Oh my God, they all feel this way. Do you feel this way all the time or just some of the time? And they go, no, all the time. It's consistent. And I go, really? Are there any times where you don't feel that way? And they go, yeah, on you know, 2 to 3 days a month, I don't feel that way. I was like, there's got to be something to this. And so I went and read books, read research papers, started to look up all this stuff. And I went, oh my gosh, it's predictable. This is interesting. And then I showed it to them. Are you all aware of this? And they're like, oh my God, what's that? No, I didn't even know that existed. And by having this conversation of interest and learning what problems really existed and having a passion for wanting to help in some unique way, and can I add some value to you? All of a sudden, I found out that almost half of Earth is struggling with the same issue. And I think half of Earth is a pretty good total available market. I'm like, that ain't half bad, man. It's half of 4 billion of us. Yeah, 4 billion of us have this issue. I think it's something we should focus on.
Thank you. So how do you validate once you have like an idea of, okay, this is the problem, this is the kind of thing that I could potentially offer. Yeah. How do you validate the pricing and the right offer for that particular audience?
Sure. Great question. So there's a
With AI, for example.
There's one guy, a single guy, who was the pricing guru of all gurus. And this guy went out and he's the guy that when the huge, you know, fast food, like McDonald's, when fast food restaurants want to find out for a French fry, do I charge $1.39 or $1.47 or $1.23? Which one do I charge? Which one's going to make us an extra $500 million next year in profit? And if you ask me that, I'd go, I don't know. Maybe the expensive one, like, I don't know I don't buy French fries, so I don't know the difference. But there's one guy that they would call. And this guy said, here's how to do it. You're going to need 3 groups of customers, about 100 each. And you're going to ask them these questions. What price would you consider this too inexpensive that you wouldn't trust the quality? Let them pick. What price would you consider this too expensive that you wouldn't buy it? Let them pick. At what price would this be an absolute no-brainer? Let them pick. And he has a couple more questions. I can send them to you so you can put them in the show notes. But he has a couple more questions. And he, between 300 clients, people who've never tried you, clients who you've worked with, people who've worked with you and no longer work with you. So 3 groups. People who've already tried you and left. People who are actively still working with you, and people who've never heard of you and never tried you. Those 3 groups, 100 of each. You do those 300 people, you ask the exact questions he says, and you get the exact price point to like a 98% accuracy. You charge that price point, you're going to win. And I was like, that's unbelievable. He's the person all these companies call to figure out that exact micro adjustment of price points. And the difference is, if you price it wrong, Nothing changes. If you price it right, you get an extra $500 million a year of profit. Like, it's insane how much more money this guy can make you by just adjusting the price a micro nanometer. And so with AI, we could learn his system, we could bake it into our AI team, and we could have that analyzing all of our data, our financial data, and giving us the best three prices to then test to find out which one is really the right one. So AI can do a ton of heavy lifting in the background that we can then use his questions to identify, okay, we know it's one of these three, but we don't know which one. Cool, send out some emails and figure out which of these three prices is the exact price we charge that absolutely gets the result we want.
Thank you. What's the best way to validate your core offer so that the title of it sounds exciting enough for your target market? Is it the same kind of process?
No, different. So with validating a core offer, this is marketing. And I've gotten the ability to work with some incredible humans. My wife used to work with Seth Godin on some of the big like Victoria's Secret campaigns and stuff like that. And her famous phrase, when I ask her, which title do you think is going to work? She says, here's the truth. There's not a single marketer on earth that knows which one is going to work. Here's what I do know. Let's test it and find out. I'd always get so irritated because her answer to how do we know which one to go with is always, let's test it. And so when you're trying to validate a title, you're trying to validate the description, all of that has to be tested over and over and over again, either in case studies or with pilot groups or with clientele to find out which one actually repeatedly wins. And over time, it'll change. What's going on in the world, what's going on in how they're feeling and what's going on in their life, the stage of life they're in, what they adhere to, what they connect with will change over time. And I'll ask you, when you were a teenager, did you like certain things that now as an adult, you're not interested in?
Yeah.
Of course, we change. And so as we change and evolve, our taste, what we're into, what we're open to, what we're looking at also adjusts. And so the same thing with marketing, just because this is what my client likes. Great. This is what they like right now. What are they going to like 4 years from now? And are you constantly testing and preparing to put yourself in the position that they'll love you now and they'll still love you out there? Or are you the type of business that this is just the way I do it? And they might like you right now and they'll forget you even exist in 12 months.
Thank you. I've always been fascinated by Birkin and Hermes brands because I find it so fascinating how millions of women around the world crave Birkin bags. And I mean, I don't have this fascination. Like, I have never understood why anyone would be like craving to have a Birkin bag. It's just not interesting for me. But for a lot of women, it's like, oh my God, even like really ultra wealthy women sometimes can't get it. And I find that fascinating that they desire it so much that they're willing to pay even extra if they can't get it and they have to be put on a waiting list and so on. And I'm wondering, is there any way to leverage AI in order to make your brand irresistible?
Sure.
In that same way.
The concept of why they're going after it goes back to answering three questions. All of us at some point in our life are trying to figure out, number one, do I have enough? Do I have enough? What does it mean to have enough? I have a friend, you know, I grew up where I was in a very humble life with my mom and dad. Well, my dad was doing very well. So he had a castle and helicopters and Rolls Royce and all that jazz. My mom and I lived in an apartment. We were very simple. And so I saw the contrast between having a lot and having a little. And my brain was like, well, having a lot looks way better than having a little. Why not have that? And so I watched music videos as a kid of the rappers and all this stuff. And I saw, Notorious B.I.G. He had this video that had helicopters and planes and girls and guys and boats and yachts and cars and motorcycles and all this stuff. And I was like, well, that looks cool. Maybe that's what having enough really means. Then I went and volunteered and lived in a village in Uganda and taught organic farming in the villages. And there's no running water, no electricity, no toilets. It's very humble living. And I noticed how happy people were. And I asked them, like, how do you know when you have enough? And they said, Jerick, any day you wake up and you have a safe place to live, food and water, you have enough. I was like, okay, that's cool. That's totally different than what I thought. And then I met this young lady, her name's Kayla. She had cystic fibrosis, where at some point in her life, her lungs stopped working. She can't breathe on her own. They got to hook her up to a machine that helps her breathe. And I saw this picture of her on Instagram where she had this cut straight down the middle of her body. She had a tube coming out that was draining fluid out of her heart from open heart surgery. And then she had just finished, prior to open heart surgery, a double lung transplant. And she had the biggest smile on her face. And I messaged her. I'm like, who are you? And why are you so happy? And what in the heck is going on? And she's like, well, this is my second double lung transplant. And the reason I'm so happy is she said this was the first day that I could breathe on my own free will. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. For her, having enough is the ability to breathe on her own free will without needing a machine to do so. I was like, that's pretty fantastic. And so when you have all these women with Birkin bags, to them, having enough might mean I need four bags. If I have four Birkins, then I know I have enough. For others, they're like, I don't need one. I don't need any bag, and I know I have enough. But everybody's different. So you got to find out, how much do you need to feel like you have enough? For some people, it's breathing. For others, it's food, water, and shelter. For others, it's a bunch of bags that they need in order to feel like they have enough. And I'll tell you the secret for an abundant life. The less you need to feel like you have enough, the more abundant you'll feel quicker. Go up a level. Second bucket people are trying to figure out is, am I loved enough? Am I loved enough? Now, for most people, they don't love themselves. So it's hard to experience other people's love if you don't even love yourself. That's hard. You have a wall up and you constantly see what's wrong with yourself. Therefore, how can you accept if someone else praises or sees what's good in you if you don't even see it or feel it yourself? And so for most people, you got to learn some level of self-love. Can you find the ability to look in the mirror instead of constantly picking out what's wrong with ourselves? Can we figure out what's right with ourselves and actually honor and appreciate it? And so you got to figure that out. And when you watch people's behavior, oftentimes people who put on a big presentation of who they are, they got to dress perfect and walk perfect and drive the perfect car and wear the perfect bag and do all the things, they're screaming. Does anyone see me? Does anyone love me? Does anyone know that I'm special? I want to feel special. I want to feel loved. That's what they're screaming. Because if they felt loved, just being themselves, what does it matter if you have that right outfit on? What does it matter if you're standing in the right restaurant? What does it matter if you're holding a bag or not? If you love yourself, doesn't matter. So most of them are trying to feel loved, trying to feel important, trying to feel, and truthfully, they're saying, if I can be important enough, maybe I'll be lovable. Maybe someone will pick me. And then the third one, I am enough. So I have enough. I'm loved enough. The third one is I am enough as a human being. Do you feel like you're enough? And so often, men and women are guilty of this. We look at all the things we have to accomplish in life, whether it's gathering 1,000 bags or making $1 billion or traveling the world or building the biggest business or, I don't know, whatever else people think they need to do to finally feel like they're enough. And there was this actor named James Vanderbeek. He was in this, you know, TV show called Dawson's Creek. And he said when he was younger, he thought if he could just become an actor and make good movies and film, then he knows that he's enough. That was real success. So he did it. He got there and realized there was nothing really there. It didn't do much for him. So he said, well, maybe it wasn't acting. Maybe it was becoming rich. Maybe that was it. So he worked really hard in business and he made a ton of money. And then he realized that didn't do anything for him either. It didn't change anything in his life. Didn't make anything better. So then he thought, you know what? None of that really matters. You know what matters? Being a good husband, getting married, having children, having a home where I can work the land. That's what really matters. So he did it. Found a wife, got married, bought a house, worked the land, had these beautiful children. And he figured out that he is enough as a human being if he can wake up, work the land, do his husband duties, do his father duties, then he is a good man and he is enough. And then here's what happened. Years later, he got cancer. And his cancer caused him to have to move far away from his family to go to treatments to try to survive. It drained his bank account. It did not allow him to do anything that he thought made him a good husband. It took away his ability to do things that he thought would make him a good father. And so he was sitting there looking at himself in the mirror saying, what kind of man am I? I'm worthless. If I can't be a husband, if I can't be a father, if I can't provide and protect my family, what am I even here for? And he felt horrible. And then one day he woke up and he said he had this beautiful moment where he felt God's warmth in his life. And he felt this love come through that said he's loved for being a human being. Not what he does, just being. Just sitting there doing nothing but being. He is loved. And he made this little video and he said, I hope that you know you are loved and you are more than enough just by being. You don't have to do anything. And then 2 days later, he died. And I said, that's wild. And my hope for you is it doesn't take 2 days before your death to finally feel like you're enough. I hope you wake up every day and feel like you're enough. And so I'd ask, if I were to ask you, do you feel like you have enough? Do you feel like you are enough? Do you feel like you're loved enough? What has to happen in your life for you to be able to say, yeah, I'm enough. I have enough. I'm loved enough. It doesn't mean you don't go for more. Go for anything you want. It just means you're full. You're abundantly overflowing and going after it. Instead of going after it, thinking it's finally going to make you feel better if you get it.
Thank you. So my question was about, is it any, is there
AI? Your question. Is there a way to AI to make your brand irresistible?
Yeah.
I haven't tried that. I'm sure there is.
And tell us about how does someone leverage all of these tools that the 267 AI agents to actually grow their business?
Yeah. Well, I was running an event that's coming up in June 2nd and 3rd. And I was like, you know, I could hire a full PR and media team to get me in the media, book podcasts, get me in magazines, get me on the radio, get me on TV. I said, or maybe I could build a PR and media team of agents. So I did. And here's what's funny. They booked this podcast. They booked they pitched 40 other podcasts. They got me booked on 11 others so far. They got me connected to a handful of different media people that are getting articles written up about who we are. They've reached out and got me affiliate connected to other podcast hosts and other people who got affiliate codes that are going to earn money on every ticket that's sold. They've run all of it. And so far in a couple weeks, we've sold $10,000 worth of tickets. We've booked the venue. They helped organize all that. They picked which hotel and which ballroom and all that jazz. And so I have agents who are handling all these things that used to take a team of 3, 5, 10, 15, 30 people to do. And every time I have a new initiative I want to try, I just spin up a team of agents and have them go on the internet and learn all the best practices of that specific task and then come back and build a plan and deploy. And it's amazing. It's working. It's really fun.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Sure. Find me on Instagram. It's easy. You usually see me being goofy and having fun all over the world. Or you can go to executiveoffice.ai. If you want a free training on this stuff, you can do executiveoffice.ai/webinar. We do live trainings every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time that we're sharing. Just here's how to implement AI in your business. Here's how to build agents. Here's how to do all this stuff. So love to have you. Come on by. We'll see if we can help in any way.
Thank you. Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.